This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to the Vic Police Glow Show on Joy Podcast. I'm Joy presenter Dean Kitchie and I'm joined today by Rainbow T. Hey Rainbow, how are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm great, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Now also joining us this afternoon is Gabby Tyack. I'd like to know you as Gabby Glow.
I am Gabby Glow.
Also joining us is Jen Dixon, who is the LGBTI Community Portfolio Manager.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you. And also joining, rounding up the panel, is Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles. Hey Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to the team.
Thank you very much.
Doug, you haven't been on the Glow Show very much, so perhaps we could tell the listeners a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, not very much. This is actually my first time. As far as police go, 17 years, in fact, finished off 17 years yesterday.
Well
with
done.
Victoria Police.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I've been with Safer Communities now for on and off, within the Community Safety Division for a bit over 3 years. So I worked in the Victims Advisory Unit first, helping to essentially train new portfolio holders into victim-centric type thinking. Now I'm working primarily, I suppose, with proactive units and proactive members, our crime prevention officers, in dealing with our external stakeholders and the public and promoting a safety type message, if you like, and supporting them in any way we can. So I'm currently writing a paper on how we go about actually engaging with executive level stakeholders, so people who are national managers, state managers of the larger organisations.
So you're an author as well?
It seems so, yeah.
Good. I get the impression that you're a little bit of an expert on scams, so perhaps you might tell us...
I'm not suggesting you're a con man. No, we're not. Okay.
Gee, you've got to be careful around here,
haven't
you?
Very careful, Rainbow. Watch out.
You might tell us what scams are and where they come from and what to watch out for.
Well, yes, that was my previous life. So now I've gone over to from the dark side to the good side. Look, essentially, a lot of people would have heard recently about the iTunes cards scam. That, unfortunately, has been around for a very long time. I hope that we're more on top of it now.
Oh, I must admit, I have not heard of the iTunes.
And sadly and scarily, neither have I.
Oh, maybe okay. I can scam.
I have neither.
Tell us more, Doug. Tell
All
us
right,
more.
All right, let's give you a story. What's been happening is that these people, these scammers, will target primarily the vulnerable type of people. So they get them on the phone. They'll say they're from, for example, the Australian Taxation Office. And they sound very, very convincing. So, a lot of people have been caught out and a lot of very smart people have been caught out. So we don't necessarily look at this as being, don't think of yourself as being silly. They're very clever at what they do. So they will essentially say you owe the taxation department whatever amount of money, and it's always in the thousands. We're not talking about you owe us $20. It could be a couple of $1,000s. And they, as I say, they sound very convincing. So by the end of a conversation, the conversation may go 30 minutes.
And they're ringing you at home?
At home.
Right.
So, and then they will convince this person that there's a way to get out of that tax bill right now, and that is go down to your local store. A lot of the supermarket chains sell the iTunes cards. Go down, buy literally $2,000 worth of these things.
No way, really?
And then come back. Here's the number to ring, and it's all very convincing. It's a landline number, and it's answered, Australian Taxation Office, all that sort of thing. And give us the numbers of the cards. So they give them the numbers, and that you're essentially signing over that couple of $1,000s to these people. So that's one scam that's been going around, unfortunately, for a couple of years. But there's been a lot of publicity about it of late, and that's one of the main ways that we were what we call target hardening. So target hardening is simply making people aware of the fact that there's a potential crime in place and how to avoid that. So that's target hardening.
So, Doug, with that as the example scam, what would you do to make sure you don't become a victim of that? What kind of questions do you need to ask to make sure that the person you're talking to is who they say they are?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Look, always remember, for example, let's use the Australian Taxation Office. They're not going to ring you. So if they do and you are concerned, say, would you mind mailing that to me, please? Send me a letter. They're never going to send you a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Send me a letter and I'll address the problem. Or if you're an older person, would you mind speaking to one of my family or my solicitor, that type of person? And then they'll get back to you. So that's the way, that in itself is a piece of target hardening, if you like. So have confidence in yourself is really, that's a big driver. Don't let these people make you feel inferior. That's also quite huge. So have confidence in yourself. If you don't feel confident about that situation, tell these people, look, I just can't deal with this phone call at the moment, but I will definitely get back to you. And then when you get off the phone, contact a relative, a neighbour, somebody you trust, talk to them about it. Once you start talking it out with another person, it starts to actually become quite clear.
We're chatting with Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles about scams. Now, Doug, one of the ones that I've heard of is where somebody will ring you in your home and say there's a problem with your computer.
Yeah.
And they, as I understand it, one of the tactics is there's a level of urgency. You need to pay me $200 now to have this fixed.
Mm.
So that sense of urgency, sometimes people can fall prey to that as well.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I heard about one of those scams literally 2 days ago from a police member who had been rung and obviously knew it was a scam straight away. So what they will do is they'll ask you all sorts of login details.
Mm-hmm.
They will also ask you what type of computer you have, where you plug in, for example, your mouse, that kind of thing, because then they can work out your computer. They'll work out, it's not that hard, I'm told. Again, just use, and I always go down this track, I used to go down this track with police members about when they're dealing with victims. If it doesn't seem right, it probably isn't. If you have your gut feeling, and there's a lot of science behind that, if you have a gut feeling that this is not right, then go with it, because most of the time you'll be right. So just hang up on them. Whatever you do, do not give them any details of your computer.
So let's say you do fall into the trap of doing that. Can I report it, or is it just silly me, I've made a mistake, or is it a reportable crime?
Look, if no crime has been committed, like the fraud over your computer, that's essentially why they're doing it.
So you haven't given them any details.
They're trying to access your bank accounts and so forth.
Yes.
That's the whole reason for it. If no crime has been committed, by all means, tell someone. Now, again, talk that over. It may be that crime has been committed, then police want to know about it.
Are there other ways that people commit scams? I've got an example I think was a scam. A guy approached me holding a laptop as I walked home and he said, "Do you want a new computer?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, look, the government's giving away free computers if you do this course." And I said, "Oh, tell me about the course." And he went on and I thought, this is a scam from the word go. So I led him on a little bit. I said, "All right, tell me what course. Do I have to complete it?" "No, you just have to start it." I said, "Okay. Well, I want to do this course. What do I have to do now?" And he said, "Oh, will you give me your name and your tax file number and your bank account number?" And I thought, yeah, this is good. But so it was definitely a scam. The problem I had was, who do I talk to when something like that's going on? I thought about ringing Triple O because he was still walking up the street, but I know even how effective VicPolo is, that, you know, unlikely to have a police car around the corner that could nab him. Is there any other way to go about reporting that? And are there other avenues?
There absolutely are, and Crime Stoppers would be absolutely screaming at me at this stage. That is, and again, I'll just wind that back for if I can just address some of the points of that. So when you were saying, you know, he's approached me with a computer and he says I'm from the government, wah, wah, wah. That's, when was the last time you got approached on the street by a government official? Unless you're one of us, and then you probably don't want to be.
One of us being the Victoria Police.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there's your first little gut feeling, and you've alluded to it straight away.
Yeah.
They want your tax file number. You never, ever give your tax file number to anyone other than the ATO when you're doing your tax return, or if it's on an official form or so forth.
Or your employer.
Or your employer, correct. Mm. So just wanted to address those couple of points first, which gets back to what I was saying before about your gut feeling. Your gut feeling is just going to go crazy at that stage, so it's no thanks. However, are there avenues to report it? Most definitely. That's the sort of thing that Crime Stoppers want to hear about, because you may give them just that couple of extra points that an investigator needs. They may be already investigating somebody who has passed over thousands of dollars to one of these people. You may be able to give them, for example, a description of the person. You may be able to tell them, and you will be able to tell them, I was standing on the corner of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Here's a CCTV camera. So all of a sudden, we've got a great line of investigation. So if that sort of thing happened to you, 1-800-333-000 Crime Stoppers.
Cool.
And Doug, just furthering that point, Crime Stoppers has a good app for any of your smartphones, and you can put the information in through there. And if it's safe to do so, you can also take a photo of that person and you can submit it through Crime Stoppers. So that's always helpful.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Victoria Police Globe Show on Joy Podcast. We're talking about scamming with Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles, Jen Dixon and Gabby Glow.
Another type of what I would call a scam, but you may not, is people that are after your personal information so that they can do identity theft. So they're not actually after money straight away. They're obviously got some other way of doing it. How do you identify those sort of situations, particularly over a computer system or your smartphone?
Well, anybody who wants information, I go back again to pretty much the gut feeling. Anybody who wants information from you and it's just over and above what you would normally give, don't. It's as simple. Do not give out that information. There are ways and means, and everybody has been through official ways of getting information. You buy a house or whatever, or you buy a car or whatever. Then you know that in those situations there's going to be a degree of information required to finalise the deal, the contract, the whatever. If you have your information stolen, that's absolutely, we want to know about. Victoria Police want to know about that. And then there's also, if you actually do have money stolen by fraud, fraudulent means, there's a link called ACORN, A-C-O-R-N. And you can report the fraud over the internet.
Because one of my concerns with social media, for example, sometimes I get friend requests from somebody that I think I'm already a friend with, and their photo looks slightly different to how I remember them, say, maybe their old school friend. And I've heard that sometimes it is actually someone phishing or someone trying to run a scam. So you have to be, I think, really careful with emails that you get or social media requests from sources you do not know or trust.
Well, exactly. And you should also have in your internet security, that should be able to pick up phishing scams. The PH phishing scams.
Yeah, it's true. So you should have some kind of security device that you normally would have to pay for attached to your computer to keep you as safe as possible so that people can't sneak in through those, what are they called, safety walls or firewalls?
Firewalls, yeah.
To get into your information because they do identify those things and they, in most cases, stop them.
Do the police investigate these scams or take any positive action to try and prevent them happening? Apart from coming here and talking to us about them?
Well, that's. I'm glad you brought that bit up, Tony, because this is taking positive action. If there's one thing that I advocate wholeheartedly is prevention. So we want to prevent a crime happening before it happens, and the best way to do that is to inform people about these crimes, inform them what you can do. So that's why I'm here. Once a crime has occurred, we absolutely will investigate. We'll investigate the crime to the best of our ability with the capability and resources that we have, and they're extensive. So we will then want to get certain information from you, i.e. we'll need a statement and so forth. So that needs to be understood as well, because it's very difficult to investigate a crime if you haven't got all the details.
So I got a question for you, Jen Dixon, LGBTI community portfolio manager.
Yes.
If I am an LGBTI identifying person in our community and I do believe that I've been the victim of a scam, where should I go?
Yeah, look, I mean, if it's something that you feel that a bit reluctant to approach your local police station, or if it's something that, indeed, if it's something urgent, I definitely recommend people to be calling 000. But if they want to talk to somebody that's, I guess, a friend of the community, we have LGBTI liaison officers, otherwise known as GLOWs. And those officers are, you know, unique to the LGBTI role and function. So they are sensitive to the community's needs, and if, you know, there's conversations that people might not feel comfortable having with any other police officer, I mean, we'd like to hope that everybody within Victoria Police is able to have those conversations. But GLOWs have a little bit more knowledge, I guess, and a little bit more sensitive to some of the issues that LGBTI community members face. So by all means, I mean, if somebody wants to get in contact with an LGBTI officer, they can go onto the Victoria Police website and type in GLOW, which is G-L-L-O, or they can put in LGBTI liaison officer, and it will bring you up
all
to
the
a
acronyms.
Page. All the acronyms, all the letters in there. So that's definitely something that is a service. We've got over 200 of them. So, yeah.
I've got a quick question probably for the whole panel. Are there any scams that you're aware of that are targeted specifically for the LGBTIQ community?
I don't know specifically, but I have spoken to people from our community who have been contacted through their computer or a dating site, perhaps, where they've started a relationship with somebody online and then have been, I guess, on some occasions, blackmailed into giving money. And told that if you report any crime they've committed against them to the police, then they'll out them, or they might out their HIV status or something like that. And so those sorts of crimes aren't specific to LGBTI people. However, they can target LGBTI people because that's one of the things that they think they can hold over them so that they can blackmail them for things.
If I can just add, in that particular type of scam, they will nearly always go for the real emotional thread. So, you know, I'm dying of cancer, or I'm trying to get out of a war-torn country, that kind of thing. And we have heard only quite recently, unfortunately, of some people who have, you know, handed over hundreds of thousands of dollars.
With good intent, or from a good place.
They're lovely people.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, they're trying to help someone.
Yeah. Yes.
But so just be aware of that. And again, use your gut feeling. Use your common sense. That's not fair at that, in that point. But use your gut feeling. Yeah.
And just on when people are calling you, like you spoke before, Doug, calling you and trying to say, "Oh, I'd like some identification off you because I might be from a bank or I might be from something else." If you're unsure and if you are trusting your gut and you're not sure whether it's real or not, a real organisation, take their name if they give it to you. They often give you a number, but that number's a fake number. So ring the real organisation, look them up online, find out their real number, and ring that number and say, "Well, I've been speaking to this person about this," and that way you can confirm whether they're actually who they're saying they are, and that's an easy way to identify whether they're from a real organisation or if they are a scam.
Absolutely. The other trick that I've learnt is to actually Google the phone number that comes up on your yeah. phone. And that yep. often there's a record somewhere of harassing calls or scams. Or
that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles, one last key message for our listeners. If you could leave us with one pearl, one gem, one piece of wisdom today about scamming, what would it be?
If you think it's not right, it's not. And it, literally, I would keep it as simple as that. If you really think that this is not right or it doesn't feel right, you're correct, it's not right.
If it quacked like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Exactly.
If it's free, it's probably not free.
Thank you so much for your time. Senior Sergeant Doug Bowles, Jen Dixon, the LGBTI Community Portfolio Manager, and Gabby Glow.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
And thank you, Rainbow Tea.
You're welcome.
You can find out more about the Victoria Police Glow Show podcast on Joy 94.9 by going to our website at joy.org.au.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.